I sat in an auditorium in Wilmington, Delaware about a decade ago. I was listening to a future trends in the world type presentation, and at the time, the speaker was talking about exponential growth in information. This followed what's called Moore's Law. I'll get into that in today's show. In 2013, he said we had begun to see a growth of information by 4 times over the past decade, and he claimed that eventually growth would be seen over 5 years at 8 times the speed, and eventually yearly continue at this pace. And looking at the information that's available to us now, the presenter seems spot on. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I'm Greg Bolden, your host here on the America Out Loud Network. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. In case you did not know this, I am majority Irish. I'm also German, but Irish is my majority. And it's a happy day to all of us. So how goes the battle for y'all? Let's get straight into it. We're talking about information overload. And I saw this coming because I sat in this presentation. I had my real estate license at one point in time, and I was there doing my professional development, and I got to hear all about technological advancements and the velocity of information. And while hearing about this, I realized the world was going to rapidly change over the next decade, even the next 5 years, and sure enough, it has. So today I want to talk about simpler times. I want to talk about simpler times in humanity, what it felt like, and then how did we get to where we are, as well as where are we going? Because this information overload is not healthy for any of us, and I believe we might have already passed the point of precipice. So the time before cell phones and internet is what I would call simpler times. Some of you might say that it's a time where milk, butter, and eggs, possibly even orange juice, came from a milkman. Hell, some of you might say it was a time when you could say the word milkman and not offend anybody. The local bakery had a truck that drove through neighborhoods. You didn't have to drive 20 miles to go to bakeries or your favorite bakery. You didn't have Yelp telling you, well, shop here, don't shop there. Letters back then in these simpler times were the only things that were really delivered on a regular basis by the mailman. You'd need a special delivery or a speedy delivery back then. Also, grocery stores. Back then, they didn't exist in the way that we have these huge box stores. We had these smaller places that were about the size of a Walgreens or CVS, and they had a butcher in it and a deli in it. They even gathered with some home goods that you could shop at, the five and dimes. Doctors made personal visits to your home. They knew their patients on a first-name basis. There was no MedExpress that you went and ran to a random doctor or telehealth. Radios and television back then, they had daily programming, and they would relay the headlines from around the nation and the world, but they would only do it on a schedule, because back then it took time to gather the news that was going on around the country, around the world. The newspapers were working for their press the next morning, so they were working on all their headlines of what the local news was, and as a result, news wasn't immediate back then. It only happened during designated times of the day. Chances are that the neighbor next door to you was moving faster with the national headline than the actual television was. They would hear it. And so the town gossip, so to speak, would bring the information. The point of this is information back then, during these simpler times in humanity, it was digestible. There was no need to be plugged in 24/7 onto a news cycle, onto an online social media cycle, because back then, life could just be enjoyed. You could just sit outside, watch the clouds pass by, get to know your neighbors, get to build your community. You didn't have the fear of missing out on information or missing out on whatever the breaking news story may be. And so thinking about this presentation that I sat in the term velocity of information, I wanted to discuss that with my listeners. And I know this is a little bit different type of show, and I've actually written out my thoughts for a lot of this today, because I wanted to make sure that I was kind of clear and concise in some of the research that was presented to me, as well as making sure that you understood the analogy, because I think this is an important conversation for us to have. And this is going to be an important podcast to set up understanding of how we choose, I'm going to use that word digest again, how we choose to digest this information overload, and then what are the ills that we find ourselves in with all of this. And so we'll start with this term, velocity of information. It's a series of words here that attempts to explain that it's information on the level of physics. So to give an analogy, I want you to picture that you're standing on a football field, you and a friend. And there was a time way back when you were a child that maybe you played telephone. If you don't remember telephone, you didn't get a chance to play that, maybe you're too young, well, you missed out. You would have two tin cans, which is kind of like a can that your canned corn comes in or canned green beans, and you'd get a hole in the bottom, and you tie a string and put a knot on one end after it goes through so it couldn't go around. You'd pull it tight from one person to the next, and you could stand far away. And as you spoke into the can would vibrate. It would create a wave that travels down the string. That wave would then vibrate the can on the other end and reproduce and amplify the sound into the ear of your friend, the listener, on the other side of this imaginary football field that I want you on. Now, this football field I'm going to come back to repeatedly, because it's going to express how things have changed from 1950 to 2023. Now, the velocity of information with the telephone game had limits. It was inhibited by the distance between subjects. It was also inhibited by the length of the string. The further apart you were, the longer that string, the less energy was making it all the way across. It means the signal would have been fainter by the time it got there. Now, put down the telephone, right? Put down the tin cans. And now picture yourself on a football field where one person's standing in one end zone, the other person's in the other end zone. And I want you guys to yell across the football field. Well, at that point in time, you would observe another phenomenon known as the speed of sound. It's also part of the velocity of information that physics teachers will tell you all about. Complicating that information further, though, when you're looking at your friend, is something called the speed of light. Well, see, the speed of light and the speed of sound are much different. Almost unfathomably, they're very difficult for you to think about. So let me put this in terms. The speed of sound travels at just over 1,000 feet per second. Now, if you have the football field where you and your friend are standing, there's going to be about a third of a second delay in the reception of that sound. However, the speed of light means the mouth will be almost instantaneously seen because light travels 874,000 times faster than sound. That is mind-numbing, the speed difference. However, for those of us like myself that teach audio, radio, video for a career, or those of us that are engineers in this field, we take this into consideration when you design live sound, when you design video capture for stadiums. You have to know that there's going to be a delay. You have to know that the video board has to match up for everybody. Otherwise, the mouth is not going to match the audio. So using the analogy of speed of sound and light, where are we now in the velocity of information? Well, I believe we're coming out of an age where humans communicated at the speed of sound. And we came into an age, which many of you know as the fiber optic age, where we're traveling at the speed of light. Now, we've harnessed satellites that are beaming waves and light around the world. We got lasers now traveling in the space, from space back down, sending information. Eventually, we're looking to send lasers to give energy up in the space. That's like a breaking story just today. We're able at this point to communicate across the cosmos. We've sent satellites outside of our own solar system at this point in time, and we're able to use waves to bring the message back. This technological change has happened largely over the past century. You've heard me talk about Tesla. You've heard me talk about Marconi. they are really key players in the information age of velocity of information. But they're nothing compared to Intel. They're nothing compared to what live streaming has done at the speed of information. So we saw wireless communications. They became faster and wider in application. We went from novelty to hobby and then to entrepreneurial, making money off of it. However, when we look back on it, the increase in accessibility has come with great risk to society. And there are risks that I believe many people have started to ignore. And so I think when I'm teaching my class, often about what will historians call the time period we live in now? What is it that we've morphed into? If it was first a hobby, novelty type of stage, and then making money off of it, what comes after entrepreneurial? Well, I believe it's almost like a cyborg. It's where it becomes who we are. We become part of the technology. We become part of the velocity of information. We become synonymous with information as humans. And I believe that we're close to that. So how do we get there? Well, when I think about the start of the 21st century, I believe the history books, when they write about this, you know, I wonder, what will historians call this time period? I'm going to call it, if Greg Bolden got to write the rules for the history books, I would call it the postmodern information age. During this time period, we have doubled life expectancy. We have created economic growth that has been unseen globally in all of recorded history. Sure, there have been empires before, but we've never seen the economic growth from continent to continent the way we have now. And yet, in this time of my life, in this time of your life that we are living, we continue to ignore the worst of poverty. We've allowed the globe to be used for gain, to be used for prosperity, off the backs of the have-nots. We are the haves. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you are the haves. You have the ability to own this device. I don't think when you try to bring in exponential realities, I don't think you know how exponentially worse off other people are on this planet than those of you that are able to listen to my voice right now. And so we've turned our backs in order to get to where we are. It's a reality of the exponential growth that humans are locked into at this point in time. And I got bad news for everybody. There's no way that we back out. There's a quote that you may remember. And this guy at the conference that I was at, he said this like a decade ago. It's a line from Jurassic Park. This line, in light of COVID mRNA and stuff, by the way, it seems a lot scarier now than that time that I was in Wilmington in the theater. Now, when the movie came out, the line was this: your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. What have we been preoccupied on? We've been preoccupied at the velocity of information. We've been preoccupied with technological change. Whether that is making mRNA accessible, so that way we can fight against coronavirus. We've been so preoccupied with whether or not they could do this that anyone stopped to think if they should do it. What is the long-term effect of all that? Well, there's a person that had already kind of come up with this law called Moore's Law, that things were going to exponentially grow and double in growth. And scientists have known this since 1965. So getting away from the whole, the COVID conversation, mRNA, I want to get back to where we're going with communications. But before I can do that, before I can tell you about Moore's Law and what this has to do with how happy people may or may not be, we got to hit a commercial because we're at the midpoint of the show. But I hope that this has been good for you so far. I'm having a good time bringing this to you. Giving you some of my thoughts. This is kind of more like what it's like in Mr. Bolden's classroom. talking a little bit more about the technological side and communications. All right, everybody, make sure you go to our sponsors, www.americaoutloud.com. Plenty of great products to help bring this show directly to you with the velocity of information that you're experiencing right now to your ears. We'll be right back. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. That's me here on the America Out Loud Network.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutloud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're getting right back into the velocity of information in this postmodern world that we're living in. I was talking about Moore's Law right before the break, and now I want to kind of explain that to people that are unaware of it and put this in terms, and eventually we'll get back to the football field analogy here. Let's go back to 1965. There was a gentleman by the name of Gordon Moore. He was Intel, which is the microprocessor chip that you find at computers, same Intel that's now wildly popular. He was the co-founder, and he described an exponential increase of the number of transistors on integrated circuits. And during this time, Moore's Law observed that the number of transistors in integrated circuits doubled approximately every 2 years. And so we studied this from 1959 until 1975, and guess what? Moore was spot on. Not only was he spot on, but you could find this in almost every single industry, that humans doubled their abilities almost every 2 years. You look at the airline industry, consistent. You look at the broadcasting industry, consistent. Computers, consistent. Moore's Law seems to be what we follow when we talk about the velocity of information and how we're going to be able to continue to deliver it to people. So we went from this simplistic time period, the 1950s, 1960s, to 1975. And from 1975 until 1990, things started changing quite rapidly. By 1990, many of you might have started your dial-up internet with AOL in the mid-1990s. Then from there, you might have found broadband, where you were getting broadband cable, faster speeds coming into your home, quality of the broadcast signal. News started going forward, right? So Moore was spot on, and we can see the simplicity of life and Moore's Law and this discovery. It was like a perfect storm. So to put this in just a relational term, in 1970, when Intel was making their transistors on these integrated circuits, they were able to fit about 10,000 transistors. 10,000 in 1970. In 2020, they're now able to fit 50 billion transistors in the integrated circuits. Apple has gotten to the point now where their chip not only has their transistors on the integrated circuit, but it has partially their memory is all on the same circuit as well. They're able to cram so much in there. Apple has made their own chips. They're now competing and doing more things that Intel's doing. It's the next generation. Now, those of us like myself that grew up playing Super Mario Brothers in the 80s or 90s, we knew the growth cycle. We've known Moore's Law this time. You played on 8-bit graphics with Nintendo. You went the 16-bit graphics with Super Nintendo. You went the 32-bit graphics with the Sega Saturn. You're at 64-bit graphics with the N64. These systems, each new cycle, doubled. It's something that's ingrained in all of us. And now we've gone from dots on a screen to these photorealistic worlds of war in games like Call of Duty. We have virtual sets on shows like The Mandalorian, and they're almost indistinguishable from real life the way they work. They use an engine called the Unreal Engine, and it's powered by these same 50 billion transistors. I think I said 50 million earlier. I meant to say 50 billion if I did. That's a huge growth from 10,000 to 50 billion. Now, to go back to that communications analogy that I was making earlier in the show, first half, we're on a football field. Right? And now we put down the tin cans. We stopped communicating with Marconi's radio. We stopped communicating with light. And now we're communicating with computers. We eventually started communicating with supercomputers. These supercomputers were the moment that we stopped shouting and we started communicating with fiber speed, with light speed. We had so much more information. But that's not even where we're standing here in 2023. We're now standing on a virtual football field. We're not on a physical football field. We're no longer able to even stand on the football field as human beings with communication because the communication no longer needs to travel at the speed of a measured unit. I want that to sink in for a quick moment. Communications no longer needs to travel at a speed of a measured unit. We know this because I tried to tell you about what the WEF was telling us, quantum computing. With quantum computing, we are almost in a holographic world. Perhaps we are in a holographic world. Perhaps simply by creating this, we've proven that. Simply thinking in this quantum computing manifests a reality. It exists somewhere. And what is reality? Well, that's becoming blurred each and every single day. The laws of quantum physics are still being rewritten. And this is probably the most dangerous moment in the history of civilization for us all. We are living in complex times of people shouting and light. And there's bad light and there's good light. There's good shouting and there's bad shouting. And it's really tough to tell what is what because there is a ton of noise. A ton of noise. And focusing on what noise is the worthwhile noise, well, or even true noise, that's a frightening prospect. There are those among us that have an amplified voice. They're using the same mechanics of speed that bring news 24/7 to your mind, into your mind, perhaps even your spirit or into your spirit. Everyone on Twitter seems to be the first person to want to break a story to you. They want to say they were first with it, first cut to comment. And the information that they are creating is beamed down to your phone and computer within milliseconds. In fact, if you subscribe to this show, chances are when this show went live today, you got a notification on your phone and said, America Emboldened, new episode is now ready. Why, thank you very much for beaming that. But the football field that is now almost holographic, it's been expanded across the globe. Eyes are now on everything almost immediately as they happen. How did we get there? Well, we get live streams. Live streams now, by the way, are an expectation of all media consumption. When somebody goes and there's a news event, you're going to see so many people trying to put that out live. But imagine a simpler time. Imagine before 1995, because before 1995, there was nothing capable of live streaming on a computer platform. There's a company called Real Networks. In 1995, they made it a reality because they broadcasted a New York Yankees and Seattle Mariners game through the internet. But that wasn't really live streaming. It didn't do it well yet. We didn't have the bandwidth. So it took another 13 years before live streaming came to the masses when YouTube and Twitch began offering the option to stream to select users, which I think there was like a 2 to 3 year difference between YouTube and Twitch. Now, before any listeners that know their history correct me, I also know there's a gentleman by the name of Steve Mann. He's a Canadian. And he started this concept of live streaming with wearable wireless cameras. And he called it life streaming. In many ways, talking about quantum computing, talking about the holographic universe, in many ways, Steve manifested this vision for us all. And possibly he should just be credited as such. You talk about Steve Jobs inventing, you know, the Apple iPhone or Apple coming out with the iWatch or eventually the Apple Watch. Not sure it was ever even called an iWatch. They used to put I before everything. But Steve Mann, he was the man who envisioned wearable tech and computers. He was the person putting that on his body. And now every single one of us are part cyborg. We carry around our cell phones each day. They're so attached to us that the average person spending hours upon hours on their phone, they don't even realize how much they're looking at it. So what did we get for this new convenience of information? Well, here it is. You now have a 24/7 cable news network spreading fear and panic throughout the day. There's no more simple time of waiting for bad news. Now you get the bad news streamed directly to you as it happens. If you need something for your home, there's an app for that. Do you remember that commercial? There's an app for that. Need to know something about that person you just met? Well, an internet search will give you some of their most intimate details with the savvy user behind the keys. And let me tell you something about my generation, Generation X. They are the savvy users behind the keys. The newest generation is not savvy yet because they do not know the language that our generation knows in order to be able to get the information. Privacy, that's been sacrificed for an illusion of convenience. You think life is more convenient, but it's become so much more damn difficult. So, privacy likely was protecting us at one point in time. In fact, we love giving up our privacy so much. We can see it. Everybody live streams. YouTube, I dare you, find a video about anything that's not, you know, X-rated. Type it into YouTube, it's there. There's a video for everything, and it's scary because we love live streaming so much. We even accept now that we're on film at all moments of our life when we're in public. I was at a local convenience store checking out, and all of a sudden my picture pops up as I'm checking out. You can't have anyone check you out anymore, by the way. Now you have to scan the stuff yourself, you know, so they still charge you more for all this stuff, but they've eliminated employees. Thank you, minimum wage people. We'll get into that another day. But yeah, my picture shows up on the cash register in front of me. There's no privacy when you're out in public anymore. There's even cameras being installed on homes, willingly giving up your privacy. If you purchase a Ring doorbell, did you know that the local police can now access it to monitor if they know that there's crime going on in the area? The information age, it's speeding away. And I got bad news for all of us. Not one of us can stop it. It's impossible. It's here. No one ever thought a matter of what should we do? Because we constantly wanted a microwave generation. We wanted things fast. We wanted things now. We wanted a self-gratifying world. We did not want delayed gratification. We wanted immediate gratification. We don't want that t-shirt that we ordered next week. We want it tomorrow. Wow, if there's an option to get it by 4 p.m. before the end of the day, yeah, I want that. We've become spoiled. But let us not forget that in this age of information, in this age of quantum computing, in this age where everything seems instantaneous, there are people that are using their resources in their country, in their minds, making it happen, living in poverty, living not on the same standard as you. So it's really not even just to talk about Moore's Law and what it's doing. If you're paying attention to AI, artificial intelligence, that is the next part of Moore's Law. The exponential growth in artificial intelligence is scary. Where it goes in the next 2 years, I believe you're not going to be able to tell the difference between a song that was written by artificial intelligence and a song written by an artist. You will not know the difference between original art and fake art through AI. You will not know the difference between my voice and a computer pretending to be me. And that scares the crap out of me. There's no return from this, ladies and gentlemen. We have put ourselves there. We have overloaded ourselves with 24/7 information at the term of convenience. And what did we get? We got mental health problems. We have people that are suffering from panic attacks and anxiety. We have people that are mentally unwell, that now the only place that they can go is to label people. We label people to stay in our lane and in our box so we can confine ourselves communities that don't scare us. Because by labeling the other person, we don't have to live in a simpler time. Fact of the matter is, we yearn for a simpler time. We yearn for a community. We want to have human connections. But we're losing all of that in this velocity of information age. And I'm sorry, but there's no coming back from this. Outside of a natural disaster that takes us all offline, outside something that eradicates this technology of where we are. Maybe this happens. Maybe this happens from time to time. What happens next is the computers will become the superior to the humans, and humans will be the ants to the computer age. Our anxieties and troubles that we have right now, I believe that's just us adjusting to the new reality. Our brains are being rewired. They're trying to adjust to this information age. Be careful how far you want to go into it. Be careful how much you want to rewire. Take a break from the information overload. Take a break from the computers. Put down your phone and reconnect with the grass, the flowers that are about to bloom all around you this spring. Go outside for a walk. Look up at the clouds. Look up at the stars at nighttime. What do you notice? What have you not noticed since you were a child? Take notes. Pay attention. Ground yourself. It may be the only way that we remember that this is reality and not an illusion. That's my show for today, everybody. I hope you enjoy your weekend. It's been a fun one. I had a really good time putting this together, and I hope that it gave you something to think about. I'd love to hear your comments. As always, you can go to Twitter at RealGregBolden, and you can share your thoughts about today's episode, about the velocity of information, this technological complication that we have, and whether we can come back from it. If you want to tag Elon Musk in this one, I think he might be interested in what I talked about today. I really do. And as always, you can go to AmericaEmboldened.com. That's my website. You can help support the show. You can just buy me a cup of coffee. That's kind of the theme of my show anyway, right? A cup of coffee, whatever you're into. Want to buy me a cup of coffee for the work that I do? I'd be honored. Not only that, but I'm working on perks for people that do buy me a cup of coffee. So you'll get access to some exclusive parts of interviews behind the scenes, as well as some articles that I'll be writing just for that crowd. So not only will you be supporting the show, but you'll also get some perks and some rewards for doing so, because that's how much I appreciate my audience and those bold Americans that follow along with me. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.